Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College football fans, the College Ball Show returns. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything revolving around the world of college football, and obviously on the eve of the national championship game, here we stand. Alabama, number one, undefeated Alabama versus number two, Clemson, undefeated as well at the beginning of the season. We pretty much thought these were the two best teams. I believe they were ranked that way. Rarely do you get number one and number two, or even number one for that matter, actually go down the whole stretch and finish it off and get into this position. So it's part four. It's the trilogy redux. Actually, it kind of is the trilogy if you count the actual title game. Because remember, last year was a semifinal game, but I'm excited for this one. So, going to bring in my co-host in just a moment. Obviously, this podcast here on a Sunday night, like I said, about 24 hours before, well, actually less now, for the kickoff for Alabama-Clemson to decide who will walk away the national title. We are going to break it down. We're going to preview, banter, predict the whole thing. But before we get there, we are going to talk some bowl stuff, right? We are definitely going to talk some bowl games. Now, we're not going to go break down the X's and O's of every single game or you know, that not even that many. We are going to talk about maybe a handful of them that were entertaining. Because there were plenty of that. There was some upsets as well, if you look at it. A couple of them pretty much, you know, went the way we thought. Some of them were surprises. Some teams like Ohio State and Texas really jumped on their opponent, and that opponent slowly came and kind of snuck back into the game, made it a good game. Like I said, some upsets. And we talked about it before, you know, the bowl season really kicked in, like the meat and potatoes of the bowl, not the car quest, you know, some rent-a-car one early in December, or not early, but, you know, midway through December. We did talk about this before on the last show we did, which is actually a chunk of time ago now. We said, you know, there's going to be some teams that are not going to be prepared. And when we mean prepared, we meant mentally. How would Georgia come out in still a very meaningful game? How would they come out thinking maybe they should be in the top four and didn't make it? But we kind of had a couple of teams come out flat. Some teams were trying to win one for the Gipper. Some teams succeeded, some didn't. So, yeah, we're going to have a kind of a nutshell segment up at, you know, at the start of this show once I shut up. And, you know, kind of break down, of course, we're going to break down the two national semifinals, and that will lead right into tomorrow night's game. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You can also find it under the Ropeadope Radio podcast, you know, at iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, all sorts of different places you listen to the podcast. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that can be found everywhere. You can listen to it right at thegruelingtruth.net, by the way. You can also, under The Grueling Truth, listen to the College Ball Show podcast on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great site over there. You got football, you got basketball, baseball, boxing, everything in between. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. You know, listen to a podcast, read an article. There's plenty of those. And while you're at it, place a bet. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. That's the sponsor, mybookie.ag. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and kind of gauge his temperature at the moment. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Just life's good. A lot of good football this weekend. Teams I cheered for won, and now we get to wrap up a college season tomorrow night. So, yeah, I can't complain about much. The only bad news is I'm back to school Tuesday with the kids. So I had a nice 17-day break of Christmas. Now it's back to reality. And then I just kind of use March Madness to, like, look forward to, because I basically we're teaching until the bracket begins. So, yeah, not doing too bad, my friend, not doing too bad. I will say, do you think people are bored with it, or do you think it's okay? Kind of like the way of speaking of Alabama Clemson, like at some point people were like, oh, it's the Cavaliers and the Warriors again for NBA Finals. Like, we got to do this again. Like, do you think that there's going to be maybe a little bit of loss of desire or anticipation to watch the game? Or do you think it's that, wow, these teams are really good, let's watch this game? Do you think fans may be getting a little maybe too content with Alabama Clemson? Do you think it'll be as much of a draw as we've had over the past couple of years?
Well, three out of the last four national championship title games have been them, no doubt about it. I could see that from a casual perspective, from just a sports fan's perspective that start to tune in later in seasons. Maybe not the biggest. They love football, but they watch the NFL.
Sure.
They pay attention to their local club, that type of thing. I could see a little bit of that for sure. Now, if it's a tight game, that'll obviously increase the ratings as it goes, especially the peak. But yeah, I could see some of that. We didn't get it last year, but I could see that. However, when you actually look at the freaking games in those, first two matchups, they were great, great, great games. So
100%,
the last one,
yeah,
not so much. But yeah, I do think from a casual perspective, I mean, it's one thing to have Bama in there, and that, from a casual perspective, people will be like, ah, and even hardcores will be like, ah, Bama again, somebody beat those bastards, So I think you get, a little seen it, been there, done that, all tune in if it's a good game. I think you get that with Bama right now anyway, but with Bama Clemson, sure. I could definitely see that. I'll say this, though, my guess is they'll have a pretty good intro and to the actual, before the kickoff, not the pre-shows that'll be on for, they're probably on right now, the pre-show,
sure,
for 24 hours. But I'm talking about the little highlight clips of seeing it from 2016, seeing it from the 2007, to go, oh, wow, okay, that's right. It kind of recalibrates yourself in two undefeated teams. But I think there could be some of that. I think we're seeing that a little bit anyway. I kind of wanted to talk real quick, put you on this as well.
Sure.
So many freaking people, and I know this is the way, negativity sells, complaining, bitching, being critical sells. And it's one thing to be critical. It's another thing to hammer home something, to the point where you're like, all right, dude, we get it. And I'll tell you what, so much focus has been on this playoff expansion being a necessity, and it just doesn't count if we don't do it type thing. We've admitted here, we've talked about it on the show plenty, and it's hard not to admit that a fifth or sixth team especially even a fifth team, would add a layer to it. Now, that's another layer of, you know, teams having to travel, and we've always said that first round may be, you know, a home game. That way you wouldn't have to travel. It's a lot, you know, it's another expense for the team that already has a lot of spending to do throughout the season. So I'm okay with the, I think fifth would be just fine, fifth and sixth, and having a, you know, a bye for one and two. I'm cool with that. Because I don't necessarily want to see one against six. If you look at how these line up, but I know I do not want 7 and 8. I really know I don't want 7 and 8 because you've already figured this out through your conference championship, and the non-conference. I don't think we need a 7 and 8. And when you start to look back these years, you're going to be like, why would number one go against eight? It doesn't make any sense. And we even see it when it's 1 against 4. Proof is in the pudding, Marshall. And you see some just blowouts, you know, and you're like, yeah, if 1 to 4, or you know, we can get a blowout in the top four, what do you think we're going to get with 1 through 8? You know, so, but just not to kind of, that's just my personal belief on it. But I also think, and people aren't thinking this through, say goodbye. If we went to 8, say goodbye to all those great non-conference games that we love so much in September. Because what exactly would push you to schedule to do hard schedules if you know you can get in with 8? I think that would change. But I guess my point of it is, I got a little rant in here. My point is, you know, sit back and smell the coffee here, guys. I could bring up the decade after decade after decade after decade of not facing 1 against 2 or best against best when it comes to deciding a champion, okay? And the hardcore fans, they know. They know that that's not how it used to be. But even further, it's like, dude, you do realize we have, well, all this complaining is going on, right? We have the best two teams in the country going head-to-head, both undefeated. Doesn't that mean something to you? You know, to me, it's like, guys, the complaint should have been a week's worth, you know, after, you know, December 1st, right? Or December 2nd, I suppose, technically, because that's when they actually release it, you know, and you start to get the bowls and you start to see the matchups. But my thing is, there's a time to complain. And like I said, I'm willing to go 5 or 6. I wouldn't be happy about 7 or 8 personally. Now, that's easy for me to say. If the Gophers are number 7, hey, I want a chance, you know, so I can see that. But my thing is, we've had that discussion. Stop your moaning, stop your groaning, stop your bitching. We got the top two teams head to head. Is that cool, or is that not what the whole system's about? So I guess it's like, dude, I get negativity sells, but God damn, calm down. We got the best two teams in it.
Yeah, I think part of it, and I'm with you, but I think it's kind of come from different angles. The first angle is the fact that we do have a bunch of meaningless bowl games. Like, when I was at home for Christmas, I remember just with my dad, and he's like, what's the point of these bowl games? Like, because you would see these stadiums with, like, 30% capacity. It's like, what the hell, what is the point of all this? So I think from one standpoint, you have way too many bowl games with crowds that really don't draw much of attention at all. And then you kind of wonder, I think people lose interest to, like, watch all the games except maybe the Final Four and except maybe your team that's in. So I think that puts more focus on the final product, which I believe would increase people's desire to want to add more teams. I think it's kind of a culmination of the fact that we got freaking 30, or it seems like 30 bowl games, or I guess we have technically 20 plus bowl games, and most of them are meaningless besides the Final Four. And I think with it, with that combination kind of the two things.
It's not besides the Final Four, though. They're not all meaningless. but about 15 of them are.
Yeah, a large majority of them are. No, I mean, people are still going to watch the Rose Bowl and the Peach Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and all that, but desire of those games has become less meaningful. I do feel that there's kind of been a loss of desire for those games, the New Year's Day games. Now, are they watched? Yes. But I do think the draw for them has decreased lately as we've put more emphasis on the Final Four. But with that being said, I still like the Final Four idea maybe at two, because you've seen basketball, football all year. An eighth-ranked team probably doesn't deserve to be, like you said, a national title contender. You didn't do a good enough job. It's plain and simple. I mean, now this year, Bama and Clemson are really elite above everyone else. I would say if 3-4 years from now, maybe Saban's done at Bama or something. Who knows? Maybe the difference of 1A won't be so severe. But I mean, this year, it would be a waste of time in a way, because the as you mentioned, the top teams are in, and 7 and 8 playing Bama and Clemson. That game, I mean, I guess nothing's ever a guarantee, but it wouldn't really be a true matchup. So, I mean, from when we started our show, however many years ago, and before that, we were always complaining. I don't think if you're the 7th or 8th best team in college football that you are good enough to win a title. It's just, it's never been that way, and I don't think it should become that way either, Chris.
Preparation that these guys are going to have for you. You know what I mean? If they can beat you on a week's rest, they're going to destroy you.
Yeah, so I do think that you need to try to find something for this bowl stuff. With that being said, though, unfortunately, the bowls aren't going away. You're going to keep having bowl games where you do turn the game on, and my dad will tell me, well, what the hell, how is this bowl making money? There's like 20% of the fan stadiums full. It's like, why? I do kind of wonder about that financially, but I guess
it's the TV.
Or whatever.
It's the TV.
Yeah.
The TV,
yeah, it's
contract.
Yes, TV. Yeah. So, but it would be nice to try to find a way to solve that. But again, we're going to add more bowls, which I hope we don't, but we probably will. So yeah, I'm with you. I just think the desire is going down besides the Final Four emphasis. That's kind of how I think we've kind of become more, you know, with sports. It's just, you know, that final product, like the little less waiting of patience in some sort. So yeah, but I'm with you. I don't want 8. I think that would dilute a little bit. But at worst, if you did do it, like you said, make it to where there's the college playoffs and they get home field advantage. That's something
right.
I would like. I think that'd be an incredible environment and a great thing for the sport. If we're going to add more,
yeah.
This team's a home game. I mean, talk about rewarding a fan base would be an awesome environment.
True.
And like, you know, just like the NCAA, FCS, or Division II or Division III, you know, that'd be pretty
yeah.
sick. But I guess
yeah,
for the games that were, yeah, I guess for the games that were, you know, occurring before our game tomorrow night, I did think some of the bowl games were okay. As we predicted, would Georgia come out flat and pissed off about blowing it to Bama? Pretty much, yeah. I think if you flip the coin and let Georgia, or not flip the coin, if you just let Georgia and Texas play again, and Georgia was a little more motivated, they'd probably, it would be a much more competitive game. I'm sure if you're a Texas fan, you're walking into the offseason saying, my God, we just stopped Georgia. Look at us. Look at us. And they did play good. Texas played a hell of a game that day. Their defense was great. But that's the worst Georgia's looked all year. And they just probably, their motivational level was pretty small. I heard a
stat. Yeah,
they
get down 17-0 before you knew it. It was like, whoa.
There was a stat, I believe it's the teams who have, like, been playing to teams from the SEC who had a chance to go for the national title playoff hopes or whatever and lost an SEC title game. In their bowl game, they're 1-6. So if you were an SEC team and you had a chance to make the Final Four playoffs and you lost, or a chance for the national title and you lost, those teams recently are 1-6 in bowl games. So it just goes to show that you were so close, you had a chance to do something special, you blew it, and your motivational level simply isn't there. I mean, and that stat makes sense. So, yes, I guess props to Texas, but, I mean, Georgia, and it'll probably happen again. That that desire of, oh, man, we almost beat Bama. Normally it's that situation. And then we get to play in a bowl game against a team like Texas who was happy to be there. And then you had Ohio State with his Urban Meyer send-off. They came out, smacked Washington in the mouth, looked like the much better team in the first half that was well-prepared. I'm sure the players were motivated and eager to send Meyer off with a win. Who knows if he'll be back coaching again. I know he says he'll never coach again, but he gave that same spiel a couple years ago and looked like he went to Ohio State for a long time. So Washington almost had a great comeback there at the end. But I would say that for the big-name games, the Ohio State-Washington game and the Georgia-Texas game, neither of those were as good as Iowa State and Iowa State versus
Washington State.
So the big name matchups didn't quite fulfill as what I would say was maybe the best bowl game of the year of that Iowa State Washington State was much more prolific than the Georgia, Texas, and Washington Ohio State game. So again, I think maybe the top bowls, maybe that's one reason, Chris, why more people are complaining. Because of the top dogs that came out to play, we didn't get in tremendous games from that standpoint either.
Yeah, there was a lot of front running by some teams, and then the other team got back in it, made it more interesting.
Sure.
But it didn't quite, still didn't have that major threat. You could even say that about the Bama-Oklahoma game, too. I mean, the way Alabama started that game, it was crazy. But before we get to that, how about we went, you need to have a winning record. How about 7-5? Because there's many 6-6 versus 6-6 matchups. So why don't we go 7-5 and then go top six or top five and 4-5? Because that's always the debate, isn't it? Well, 4-5, they play 4. Well, play then. 4-5 play a week after the conference title, weekend. And get 4 figured out, and then move on. How about that idea? So you cut some fat, which it's plump, and 7-5. Okay, maybe 8-4, but you're not gonna. We gotta be realistic. Things aren't when they have contracts signed. For money coming, future money. You're not gonna just be like, all right, 9-3, and that's it. You're probably not gonna change like that. But I wonder if you went 7-5. Instead of 6-6 gets you in, so you trim some of the fat, and then you go either 5 or 6. And I love the idea of 4-5 win and get in type of thing. That would help clean it up a little bit anyway.
I'd agree. I mean, hell, last year we had even teams in the bowls games that were 5-7. They had to
fill these spots, God, nope. It's pretty ugly. Then a 6-6 team would get in, and you'd be like, okay, whatever. They were in before, so it is what it is. Right, though. They did. Go ahead.
And Chris, we probably could have made Bama and Clemson play on short weeks for like 4 games in a row, and they still would have beat teams this year. I mean, those teams are so high above. I mean, you could give them all. Bama, you got to play 2 games in a week. You got to play 2 games this week. All right, well, hey, we'll win. I mean, The semifinal games, I mean, the Notre Dame got smacked, and most people got the money came in Notre Dame big time. Notre Dame was a 13-point underdog for the most part coming up to that game, and they finished at 10.5. So for a point spread,
that's
if
big.
You're not a huge gambler, to go from 13 to 10.5, that is that's millions that's pretty much got to be 7 figures of overall money bet on Notre Dame.
Easy.
And that game, I mean, the game was
that's like Mayweather. Mayweather probably put money on the Irish and he moved the damn thing. It's probably Mayweather that did that.
It might have been. Unfortunately, that's a bad bet. Because, I mean, game after the first quarter was pretty much over. And not to say Notre Dame had a bad season. They didn't. Maybe Notre Dame was a legit top 3-6 team in the country. But, Chris, Clemson's D-line, which people talk about all year, I mean, that Ian Book at Notre Dame quarterback, Chris, there's not much you can do. I mean, there were some plays where he'd make some passes and make some runs and everything, but you literally almost had to have perfect execution on almost every play or give yourself extra blocking because that Clemson D-line just simply dismantled him. And Clemson's quarterback, Lawrence, is, for a freshman, I think, still continuing to get better at every game. But, I mean, so again, that semifinal matchup, we'd have wasted a shitload of time if we would have let someone else play Clemson or Bama if there was like an eight-person bracket. But, yeah, I mean, props to Clemson. They just have
that's
Notre
what
Dame
that
and,
people just don't get. That's what people – because then when we get there, it's like boxing. When we get there, then they're going to bitch about that, Marshall. Then they're going to bitch about that. And then what are we going to sit there and go, the 8 or 9? Oh, 9 or 10. No, the 12 should have got in because of this. Shut the F up. It just gets old. But anyway, just to kind of breeze through some of this stuff, you mentioned that Washington State, Iowa State game. That was a good game, 28-26. Washington State goes out in style. You know, sometimes they do have some problems in the bowl game stuff with that offense. A couple of years back, I remember actually a 5-7 club getting in because they had to for the Big Ten. The Gophers just quiet, you know, that offense up real nice. Like Syracuse, no surprise there, took care of West Virginia. Auburn decided to play some offense. Marshall got 63 points against Purdue. It's like, hey, where you been? Michigan, another team. This is one we focused in on too because we said, well, wait a second. What is their mentality going to be? Are they going to still be heartbroken like the what ifs? And if you think about it, it's been 3 years. 3 out of 4 years, it's been the what ifs. The what ifs. Now, the game itself didn't come down to the wire like those other two, the Michigan State game, obviously, where we know, you know, all Michigan had to do was punt, and they probably would have won. And we know that that overtime game, you know, with Ohio State, did he get the first down? We still don't know if he got – they still could be checking the first down to see if he got that first down. JT Barrett, I'm speaking of course. They got their ass kicked against Ohio State this year. But still, just that lingering what if, what the hell happened, we're heartbroken. They got their ass whooped 41-15, so they end the season with a double ass whooping. That's not good, Marshall. Northwestern and Utah. Northwestern, you know, they're actually looking shaky at the start of that game. It looked like Utah was just going to move on to 12-1 under what's-his-toes, and Northwestern came, you know, flashing back, ended up winning 31-20. Great way for Northwestern to close it out, to win the West side, give actually Ohio State a decent game for a while in that Big Ten championship game. The score kind of doesn't reflect exactly how that game went, but also they started 1-3, so that was pretty big. That was pretty big. Oklahoma State beat Missouri 38-33. Cincy and Bod Tech 35-31. That Stanford Pitt game was slow, but it was competitive. Speaking of slow, and I didn't think this game would be that way, but Oregon and MSU 7-6. It was almost like they were playing a spring game, and nobody knew what the hell was going on. We already mentioned Ohio State, Texas getting the win, LSU and UCF. That was a good game. That was a very competitive game, and
that was a good game.
You know, Central Florida getting a lot of, you know, they're going to get their quarterback back, but the current quarterback got, you know, some playing time. Go ahead. You were going to say.
Well, yeah, that was a fun game to watch. I believe it would not have been as fun if LSU wasn't down like 8 defenders. I mean, they had guys injured, guys going to the pros, 2 guys got tossed out for targeting, 1 guy tossed out for a fight. You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, that was one of the fun games to watch. And LSU, I mean, LSU kept off a hell of a year. I mean, I would bet over half the fan base from LSU wanted Orgeron gone going into this year. And he goes and has a 10-win season. I mean, you can't ask for much more. I know they didn't beat Bama, but no one else did either. So you can't ask for much more from Orgeron. And I think he's got to eventually keep having these people shut up.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Iowa closed it out in style. Looked like Iowa, probably mid by, you know, somewhere around the midseason, the team kind of fell apart down the stretch, but they beat Mississippi State, who had a pretty good year themselves, 27-22. And our Kentucky Wildcats, and we normally would never say that for people that listen to the College Ball Show basketball, college basketball edition, but we've been following these Wildcats on the gridiron anyway. 27-24. Talk about capping out a great season. 10-3. Benny Snell went out in style. 144 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. That was a good way to see that club, a club that we've been kind of going week to week with. It's just fun to see a program, a coach, a running back, a quarterback, a defense, something that really stands out when it comes to programs. And Kentucky had a hell of a season, man. This has got to be one of their best seasons. I couldn't tell you. I mean, I'd have to Google it right now.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine, my friend. I actually thought Penn State would win pretty handedly because Kentucky really had struggled to score over 20 points a game all year, and we thought Penn State would. But, yeah, I mean, Kentucky scored 47. I mean, they got the job done. And that just has to be massively huge for their recruiting. I mean, they're not going to get the LSU-Bama kids, which, you know, is SEC recruiting tough. But at least now, when you are trying to steal some of those kids, you can reflect on a record of, instead of being, you know, you're the regular Kentucky football team that goes 6 or 7 wins and beats up on your ugly non-conference schedule, now you can say, shit, we had a 10-win SEC team this year. I mean, that's massively huge for Kentucky for recruiting. And we'll see if they can build that momentum from this past season. And Missouri, quickly, their head coach, an absolute idiot. When you're down 10 in football nowadays and the game's in the fourth quarter, you would assume most people go for 2. This moron decides to kick a field goal or an extra point, which makes no sense whatsoever. And then, to top it off, where Missouri is down, they're down 5. They're first and goal on, I believe, the 4-yard line or so, and it's first down, okay? You have a prolific quarterback who, you know, the coach said after the game, we wanted to send him out with a victory. Well, since they were so nervous, Chris, to let Oklahoma State get the ball back with any time at all, they go ultra-conservative. They do dive up the middle first down, dive up the middle second down, run on third down. Fourth down, they do a quarterback bootleg and they lose the game. It was incredibly frustrating. And I get the football basics of, okay, if we score quickly, our defense might need to hold up and make a stand. And obviously Oklahoma State's offense was pretty good. But the Missouri had to contain them for most part of the whole second half. So to go super ultra-conservative and basically just piss away a game, it was frustrating as hell. You can just tell there's 1:10 left. We better do dive, and hope we get one in. And it's like, and then for the coach to have the nerve to say, yeah, you know what, I trust Matty Mock with the ball in his hand, and that's how we want to go out. Well, he maybe could have thrown a pass, and Missouri's been known for throwing the ball all year. And to just do that, it was just awful coaching from many aspects. It was a frustrating way to end the season for, you know, that's all I got. It pissed me off. It was an awful coaching job for a loss in a bowl game. Okay, maybe if Missouri scores, maybe Oklahoma State does drive down and score. But at least get the lead first and give your defense a fight and not go ultra conservative. My God. All right, I'm done. I'll stop.
That's fair. That's fair. And I had already talked about the Gophers because I think that game had already happened when we did the show, I believe. Either way, it's positive. Speaking of win one for the Gipher, they were trying to do that for Johnson. Didn't work out. They got smacked in the face. Great coach, though, as far as what he was trying to do. And, you know, with that system, he definitely perfected it about as good as you could. And, the Gophers really looked – I liked what I saw on a variety of ways. And Tyler Johnson, their wide receiver, who led the Big Ten in receiving, he is coming back for his senior year. So that is huge. He had the second best receiving year ever. He actually broke the touchdown record at 12 of 13 games. So that's really cool. I mean, the Gophers are starting to really, Fleck is starting to build that freaking offensive line, Marshall. And it's we got a dude who's 6'8", 400 pounds, like, and he can move. Like, we got some dudes. We're starting to look, and I say starting. Let me say it again. Starting to look like you know who on the offensive line, and that's within the Big Ten, the Badgers. Okay, I'm not going to say that we're going to be the Badgers offensive line under Fleck. I don't know. But we're starting to look that way, where it's smash mouth. We're getting 200 yards rushing. Do something about it. The only difference is when you look at the wide receiver talent, one of them was recruited by Bama. One of them's a local kid. Like, we got some talent at wide receiver, too. And that sometimes had been, especially the second and third guy, sometimes had been Wisconsin's issue. Now, quarterback, we'll find out more about it. That's also been Wisconsin's issue at times. But, and by no means am I saying we're going to catch up to Wisconsin. We got a long way to go. And it started, you know, actually back in like 94 when they won the Rose Bowl, had a great coach, went to another really great coach, solid coach, Bielema. So it takes a while. But, you know, on the up and up. Good, good news. Now, from a Miami Hurricane perspective, because, you know, both Marshall and I have different clubs we follow for different reasons. One of mine is Miami. Out of nowhere, Mark Richt retired from football, straight up retired. Now, there was knowledge of a meeting that the athletic director and him had, and a meeting that I've been talking about all year. We need a coordinator, you know, an offensive coordinator, not Mark Richt's late 90s system. We tried it. It doesn't work. We can clearly see that. My guess is he wasn't totally on board with that. You know, he had his son doing the quarterback coaching, and he had what's-his-toes, the running back from Georgia. It's blanking me. But he was the offensive coordinator, but he was an offensive coordinator that was kind of like internshipping. You know, he wasn't really ever going to call the plays. So it sounds like it was a combination of maybe he just, you know, family first out of nowhere, didn't want to go through the grind, whatever it is. Richt is not – they were just inconsistent with him. They were win streaks 5-6 in a row, lose 3 in a row. Win, you know, 10 or 11, but then actually I think it was 15 in a row, but then lose 4 in a row. You know, so they were up and down. But as far as recruiting and as far as the defensive hiring they did, we got our defense back to how a Miami defense should look. Now the offense has to come up. And unfortunately for Temple, Manny Diaz, who was that defensive coordinator, this was his third year. He started getting looks from a lot of different places for head coach. He was the head coach. All of a sudden, Mark Richt decides to retire. And we say, hey, Manny, You wanna come back and be the head coach for Miami? Sure, sucks for Temple, but you know, and that's this whole transfer shit sometimes just makes me laugh. You know, like all the kids can't transfer, but coaches can do that shit. Come on, you know that.
Sure.
I love that we got Manny, but it sucks. It's not the first time. It's not gonna be the last time, but it does suck. It totally sucks, and a lot of it has to do with that recruiting period. Maybe if they push the recruiting period further or shorten it up, so because that's what it's all about. You're closing. You got 3 weeks to close. You know that thing, and you need something there, so you need to make a move. But yeah, the Mark Richt thing at the start on the surface pissed me off because it's like, dude, say that at the end of the year. Don't wait, you know, till bowl season passes. Because then most of the coaches are taken, you know. So, to me, that kind of pissed me off. But then when, you know, as it worked out, Manny Diaz, he's like early 40s, very good coach, been around a lot of good pedigree. Definitely is Miami. I mean, he grew up in Miami. His dad was a mayor in Miami. You know, he was actually with that Florida State crew as a secondary coach late 90s, early 2000s when they were nasty. So he's been around for such a young guy, but he knows what Miami teams and Miami talent and South Florida talent do. And he's going to recruit to that even more. I also like it because he's a defensive coordinator. So, one, he hired a defensive coordinator. Two, he'll want an offensive coordinator and not be crazy involved. I mean, he wants to be involved, of course, you're the head coach, but he's willing to say, you know what? I want a coordinator I can really depend on type thing. So, and that's what we needed, and I wasn't sure Mark Richt was going to do that. You know, had to get that out, but very happy that a Miami-born, you know, kid is now a full-grown adult who thrived. I mean, our defense looked like shit. And basically the next year, he improved it and then improved it again and improved it again. So really happy from that perspective. You talked about Clemson and Notre Dame. We're going to, you know, kind of ease our way into this national championship preview and prediction. You're right, though, with that Clemson-Notre Dame. Actually, at the start, you know, both defenses were playing very well. I think there were 7 minutes left of the second quarter, and Clemson was up 9-3, and they actually had missed a field goal. But then all of a sudden, next thing you know, a touchdown with a 1:44 left, 16-3. Clemson's defense really started shutting down the Irish, and they had some great coverage as well. It didn't seem like no one was really open. You could see that Notre Dame was picking up a couple of, you know, injuries as well. And I also noticed this. You were talking about Book, and they just couldn't do anything. Once I saw them, and you also mentioned Missouri being conservative, once I saw on back-to-back third and down, on their plays on third and long, when you saw how conservative they were, one of them was a running play. You thought, you know what? This is a wrap. There's no way. If that's what you're doing on third down, you're giving in almost right now. Then there was that juggling TD catch. Next thing you know, it's 23-3. Successful drive at the beginning of the – oh, no, maybe like midway. Oh, no, I think it was late. It was 3 minutes left of the third quarter. Book through that interception on a drive that looked promising. Three plays later, that long 60-plus run, 30-3, that's a wrap. That was a wrap, man. You're right. That was a no-go. And Bama came out on fire. You know, they were in a run look, and they picked up like, I don't know if it was 50 or 40-yard pass, but pass and catch play. Before you know it, it was 7-0, and it really looked like they were going to run away with it. And in a lot of ways they did when push comes to shove. I did think it was nice to, at least from a viewer perspective, that Oklahoma, you know, made it interesting, made you keep the channel on potentially, because like I said, at the start, I mean, they ran it up to what, 28-0, I believe they got 28-0, something like that. And it was 31-10 at half, but, you know, kudos to an extent for, you know, Oklahoma to actually grind it back in. And most of it was on the offensive side, of course. Their defense really didn't do them too many favors as far as stopping them. You know, they made some plays to contain them, though. I'll give them credit for a little while, but, you know, I don't know. That I'll tell you what, when it was 45-34, the final score, I really liked the way closed out that game. 9 plays, 49 yards, 4:23. That's the way you close out a game like that. That was really impressive. Any items you want to touch upon as far as bowl season or the two games or anything like that before we get into the granddaddy of them all? And no, we're not talking about the Rose Bowl.
I think I'm good. We touched on the main ones, and again, I did see that as much as people want to complain, I believe they had a story about how the if there were to be a change in the playoff, it would probably occur in like 2025. Like, that would be the new time for rules. I mean, obviously, something could change, but it would have to be kind of a massive overhaul, which neither of us predict happening. So, you know, if you, I guess maybe in 7 years you can get your wishes. But, yeah, let's get to the main one. And I guess with this being said, like going into this game,
spread's come down. Spread has come down.
Yeah.
From 6 or 6.5.
Well, there was an interesting debate on Twitter of many people of, you know, did Bama play that well? Did Oklahoma play them that well? Kind of went back and forth, kind of like you were saying. I mean, I guess there's different ways to view what kind of Bama performance occurred in that game. Now, clearly, to get 28-0, 28-3, I mean, that's about as good a performance as you can have. But I think on the flip side, when people do see the score and cover the spread, they're like, well, man, what, that wasn't that bad of a game. And I think there's answers a little bit in the middle, but from a perspective of Bama's defense, they kind of did maybe fall asleep a little bit. I mean, I know Oklahoma has a hell of an offense, but realistically, there was a little bit of time there where Oklahoma was on a roll, and you're thinking, well, if Bama makes a mistake on offense, which really happens, that could have got a little more interesting. So I do think that Bama played a hell of a good game, which you can agree to have an opinion on that Twitter, but you can also say that Oklahoma did make it interesting. Because other people say, well, that was never going to be a game. Well, shit, if Bama had fumbled the ball and Oklahoma goes down and scores, you know, it's not that crazy. And once Murray got rolling, that Oklahoma was scoring at will just like Alabama did. They just got a little too conservative a bit there, too. I mean, I think that for Oklahoma to kick field goals that game, maybe it hurt them a little bit. But so I do think that there's kind of a good and a bad perspective you can have from Bama. But to say the game was a waste, well, not necessarily. So if Bama's defense can get rolled on by Oklahoma, I mean, I would be a little nervous because Clemson's offense is not Kyler Murray, but it's pretty damn good. I think the gauge of the offenses being different, gaps can be closed a little bit for me, Chris. And I'm not sure if it's so much the fact that I think that Clemson's offense just catch up to Bama, but I do think that Clemson's defense will make the game a little more competitive to give their offense a chance. I mean, if we're going like Madden ratings, I would say that, you know, Alabama's offense might be like a 97, Clemson's might be like a 92 or something like that. But Clemson's defense is going to, I believe, give their team chances to make plays. And one factor that could be huge for Clemson is if Tua's ankle gets a little dinged up. Because we saw Tua, who said he was about 80% healthy, get through a game scot-free, didn't appear to get any injuries at all. Oklahoma obviously didn't rush him or touch him much. But it'd be mind-blowing to think that Tua won't get sacked in this game. So if you're an Alabama fan, again, you have a better team, most would say. But, man, you got to be praying to have about as good a block as you can get, because we saw how quickly things changed in that Georgia game. Granted, Jalen Hurts came in to play a nice game, Chris. Tua's got to be the piece you want to have, your saver for the whole game. And if his ankle still, after that game, he said wasn't the best, and that was him being honest after a win against Oklahoma, he's like, you know, how's your ankle? Well, it's good. Well, it's good, and exactly, I'm feeling good. So
I feel great.
I think
that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, it feels great. What ankle?
So I guess that's my first main thing, was kind of taking the reflections people had from the Alabama performance and tying into, you know, could they play like that again, expect to get a win against Clemson? Do you think that Alabama is ready to go? You think maybe they took their foot off the pedal a little bit? What's kind of your diagnosis of Bama going into this one with a little bit of a reflection from their appearance against Oklahoma?
Well, before we get into that, and I will answer that, we have to go to ESPN's Football Power Index. You do realize that, right, Marshall? You do realize that. The matchup predictor.
Oh, God.
So 51.4 to 48.6.
Ooh.
In the boxing business, we call that a 50-50. We call that a 50-50. And, you know, these polls and stats, it's all the same, right? So there is a little lead, the 3%, just like the polls. I mean, the polls are telling us something about Donald Trump. They fucking sure didn't fucking say it right, did they? Because he's in that motherfucker right now. 51, so it's a 50-50. And, you know, at 6.5, I believe it went to 6.5. I know it was 6. And now it's not that. So that's pretty interesting. I hear what you're saying about the Oklahoma game. You could put it together with the Georgia game. And I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. Because I think there's something there. I do. I really do. Obviously, there's some really good matchups in this, whether it's skill position, whether it's obviously coaching. You got the top two coaches besides Urban Meyer in this, I think. You're looking at, you know, will Bama repeat as champion, right? And then that'll make it 6 crowns in 12 years under Saban at Bama, which is ridiculous, especially nowadays with the 15 less scholarships. Sweeney, you know, can he even it out and make it 2-2 with this little rivalry we got going? And in the conference championship, not the semis, but the conference championships, it'd be up 2-1. But it really doesn't matter because everything's a championship at that point because they went on to win it. So I'll just shut up on that one. But I don't think this – I think this one's going to live up to the hype again. You know, the third one didn't. We thought Clemson was not as good. I think both of us thought that. The quarterback obviously was not the stud that was there before. They got a stallion that is looking the part. Obviously, I mean, the quarterbacks right there. Part of – there's numerous reasons, Marshall, why I don't think this game will disappoint. And here's a couple of them. We talked about Tua and Trevor Lawrence. That's pretty damn good. You got Tua, the runner-up. He's the savior from last year. He rallied back to win from the deficit. You got Lawrence coming out of high school as this uber stud recruit. But it's just not like he didn't get handed the job. He had to go win it against that well-established signal caller. I think that says something. Both teams had some close calls. Clemson had them early, sneaking by Texas A&M. A couple weeks later, getting by Syracuse. As we know, Lawrence was knocked out of that game, so that added to it. Georgia, you know, had a two-point. They saw a two-touchdown lead evaporate in the SEC title game. And once again, Bama, you know, beat the Bulldogs from coming behind back-to-back times since they played. So, and then you can layer it, you know, you can layer it in a variety of the skill positions. Clemson running back. That dude is a stud, 190 rushes for 1572 and 22. And the freaking wide receiver, what is it, Judy? For Alabama, that dude, it just seems like he makes all the big plays. He's well over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns as well. And I don't know, I just, on paper, dude, it's really pretty much a 50-50. Now, defensively, I'm with you. I think missing that defensive lineman gives Alabama the edge. But it's not like some crazy, you know, advantage. I like the rating, the Madden rating. That I like the way you did that. Now, if you look at momentum in the last chunk of games, Clemson, last 9 games, they've won by an average of 27. Whereas Alabama, they haven't been as dominant since those destruction shutouts. of LSU and Mississippi State, right? They were firing on all cylinders against those teams, for sure. Come down to some of this, you know, as the season progressed, you start to go, huh. And remember, years ago, a running quarterback with a great defense and a phenomenal running game, a running quarterback would cause all sorts of problems for Bama. What'd they do? They shrunk their linebackers a little bit. They didn't shrink them, but they took like 15 pounds off them. Remember, that was a big deal. But the running and passing quarterback, which is exactly the definition of Lawrence, they're a nightmare for anybody. Anybody. That's just how it goes. We saw what What's-His-Toes put up back-to-back years against Bama. And it's showing in the pros how good of a quarterback this guy is. So, but Lawrence, I really think he could be a difference maker. And this game's going to come down to fourth quarter clutch plays. Now, just saying that makes me think of Bama, right? They're always super clutch. They always make that play. Their defense is pretty damn nasty. Is it getting a touchdown a game, returns, you know, in special teams? No, but it's still pretty damn nasty. And I know the defense was a little irritated from all the offensive accolades, because that's generally not always that way with Bama. I don't know, man. There's just something, you know, I'm not going to bet on this game because of Lawrence's inexperience in spotlight performances. He just had one, but he hasn't had many. But
sure.
I don't know. The combination of people are just kind of giving it to Alabama. Just, oh, yeah. And then, like you said, the ongoing injury to the ankle, not just the ankle, Marshall. Remember the knee, too, because it was his knee that was the problem a month ago. So
sure, yeah.
You're looking at two different things. And you're looking at a team that has the depth to where they could be like, hey, redshirt freshman, you want to go get a late hit? You know what I mean? I'm not saying Dabo's going to get that on tape. But, you know, like telling me they couldn't do the New Orleans Saints to the Vikings in the playoffs. I mean, you could do some of that just to make sure, just to check, hey, how you doing? How's it feeling down there? Let's see. But just I'll shut up and let you talk a little bit here too. But here's some food for thought with this matchup in the last 4 years. The senior class for Alabama is 54-3. Clemson senior class, 53-4. The difference Jesus. There, obviously, is the national semifinal from last year. That's the difference in these teams. And that's where I go, let's sit back and smell the coffee a little bit. We have a hell of a matchup here with a different quarterback for Clemson. And you know they got some stuff in their back pocket. You know damn well, Marshall, because they've been beating everybody's ass. They got stuff in their back pocket with Lawrence. They haven't even busted out. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say they're going to run up and down the field and they're just going to score all these points on you know, Bama. But, you know, talk me out of it. Talk me out of picking Clemson, because right now I'm picking Clemson. Talk me out of it. I dare you. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, it's tough. I think that you're trending the way the bets are going. I mean, the money's coming in on Clemson. Clemson had a better performance in the semifinal game. Clemson has a better D-line. But then you got Clemson, or Bama's got a better coach and a better quarterback. So, man, you're right. This has the right to be a potentially incredible game. I think the point spread that opened was a point spread that was basically given during the middle of the year. You know, because Vegas loves to do those things where they make up a point spread for a game where, okay, if this game does happen, you can bet on this game now. Vegas does that all the time. So now Vegas, I think Vegas's initial spread, and so this would have been done about 2 months ago, was, I believe, Bama -6.5, maybe -7. So if you open something 2 months ago, you probably have to open it with the same number in theory, or people might are going to hammer that. So I think the spread shows that people are buying into Clemson. I think the only thing that really would have me lean towards Bama is Saban. The guy.
Sure.
I mean, it's Saban. He's a better coach, and Dabo Sweeney's a hell of a coach, a very very good coach. Besides, you know, Meyer, I mean, these are the top three guys coaching in football. And Clemson's defense is better than Bama's. Clemson's D-line is better than Bama's. I don't know about the rest of it. I guess I haven't seen that particularly enough to go like linebackers.
That's a good place to start, That's a good place to start, to have the defensive line.
Yeah, I'm straight, yeah. So, I'm with, a month ago, I would have said Bama's going to crush whoever. But then we had the Georgia game. We had the a foot off the gas in the second half against Oklahoma, a defense that is not quite as good as Saban normally has, a defense that has been carried by their offense for better or worse for a majority of the season. So with I think all the arrows kind of do point towards taking Clemson. But my last point here, you know, I mean, we could dissect this 800 ways we want to, but I liked your point about Lawrence being a freshman. Okay, so, I mean, Tua is special. Deshaun Watson was special. Up until this, Saban's always kind of had more of a system-type quarterback. You know, how is Lawrence going to handle the pressure as a freshman with a game plan dialed up from Saban? We've talked about how all the arrows are leaning towards Clemson in our way, and I agree. But the defensive mindset and the you're going to need incredible execution against Saban's defense. They will be ready to go. And yes, Clemson's numbers are good from a statistics standpoint offensively, but if you were to have a conference challenge like they do in basketball, they always have all the Big Ten teams play the ACC team start of the year for basketball. If we had an SEC-ACC football challenge, SEC was going to probably whoop their ass. So Clemson's offensive numbers are staggering and damn good, but if we compare ACC teams as a whole to SEC districts, SEC is going to roll up on them pretty easily. So I do think Clemson's offensive numbers need to be put a little in check, and this is probably the best defense that Lawrence has faced all year, or very close. So I can't tell you not to go with Clemson. I just think the final line that would have me hesitant would be Saban, his preparation for a rookie quarterback who's facing the best team he's played all year.
And that's fair. I think you can go the other way with that, too. That is their best team that they've faced, too.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just got, for a while, they didn't really play anyone, Alabama, for a while. Then they played Mississippi State, pretty good club. Not great, though. They're not special or anything like that. They don't really have, they have a good quarterback. You know, really, they can run the ball. We know LSU is pretty solid. Great defense, that's for damn sure. And the way they did that, but that's November. That was in November. November 3rd and November 10th is when that team had it percolate. This could be a good game. I don't know.
It could be, absolutely.
I really don't know, man. But I just want to. I don't know. I'm not so sure of it. Like I said, I'm not going to put money on this game. But 58.5 over-under, where are you at with that? What do you think the score is going to be? Is it going to be a lot like we've seen, 35-31, 33-30? You know, that's what a lot of these games have been between those two. And actually, I think one's in the 40s, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I would lean over, Chris. It's not quite the – Lane Kiffin play Colin Bama's going to have against Deshaun Watson, where it's you're seeing great minds go to work. You know, we can't replace Lane. But I would lean over. I do think Bama's going to score. I would say in the 30s for sure. I know Clemson's got a defense, but Bama's this will not be the game where you do take your foot off the pedal. Maybe Bama did relax in the second half against Oklahoma. I don't think Saban has that mentality for this game. If Bama's up 28-10, I think Saban's going to want 48-10. You know, I don't see a slowdown period occurring. And as long as Tua's healthy, I don't see it. So yeah, I'm definitely with me over because, as you just said with Lawrence, they're going to score on Bama's defense. So that surprised me a little bit because the Bama Oklahoma over under closed at 80. And
yeah,
this game is pretty similar. Now, I get that Clemson's defense is miles better than Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I get that.
Right.
But the offense, the firepower is still pretty similar. Okay, maybe Clemson's defense doesn't look like a joke, but Bama's not going to get shut out. So I would definitely lean over, my friend. And I know I just had to get my Kiffin quote in. Quickly for a USC little side note, they hired Kingsbury as their new OC, and then he gets offered to be a head coach, and they've denied him to interview for head coaching positions. So for my one quick tidbit of USC Trojans news, they hired Kingsbury as an OC. He gets offered to be a head coaching interviews in NFL teams, and they block him. So, Christ, USC. I mean, dude, I just think it's piss poor. You know, we talk about all the rules we have in college, Chris. If a guy's getting offered to live a dream job in the NFL, hell, let him take the interview. You can find someone else. But to get back on track.
You just hired him, though, so I don't know.
It's tough.
Selfishly, I don't know. I'm in between on that one, but you're right. As far as what I do if I was with C, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think this game should be as fun as we've seen before. And not counting last year. The other true final games. So,
coordinator or head coach?
Yeah, he had hired as a coordinator at USC, but had two head coach.
No, I know
head
that.
Coach
I know
interview
that.
Offers.
I'm saying,
yeah, head coach.
Why would anybody in the pros want him as a head coach?
I think you're looking at the McVay type angle.
Coordinator, but head coach. What did he do at Texas Tech to say you can be a professional head coach?
I think it's the Sean McVay angle of an offensive mind idea. That's the best comparison idea of you want a guy that can run kind of a spread type offense, and that guy knows it about as good as anyone. So that'd be my best guess. You know, besides that, I don't know.
Right. Surprised because I don't really look at his run at Texas Tech as all that good. To be honest, I think it was good, but not. He couldn't develop the other side of the ball to save his life.
True.
Know, so
true. Yeah.
I could see coordinator.
Army hats. Yeah.
The coordinator all day long. Great. I would have taken him as a coordinator for sure at Miami. But yeah. All right. Just to let the audience know, we do realize this is a football show. However, we call it the College Ball Show. Ball is the key word there. So we are going to make the switch to college basketball. So the College Ball Show from here on out will be college basketball all the way to March Madness, beyond, you know, all the way to the national title game. So when we call it the College Ball Show, that's why we call it that, because we start with football in late August. We run it all the way till tomorrow night. And then in January, we're going to switch gears. And so the next time we talk to you, we'll be talking college hoops. So just a heads up there. We'll be doing that on a weekly basis, just like we do this one. And then we figure, you know, if you like college basketball, you listen to the show. And there's a good chance once March Madness is over, once, you know, mid-April comes around, after the NCAA, you know, college basketball championship, which is going to be in Minneapolis, by the way, there's a good chance you'll want to hear the NBA playoff stuff. Maybe you'll have some interest in the NBA stuff, too, for playoffs. So we do a weekly NBA podcast as well, and we take that from April all the way through the playoffs, all the way through June in the finals. We have a draft show, and of course in July, although it may be in September because this shit takes so long now, in the off season for the NBA, we're going to have a free agency show as well. So yes, this is still a football show, but we just wanted to do it at the back end to tell you guys, hey, if you like college ball, speaking of basketball, the round ball will be full force coming up next week, just to let the people know out there.
Yeah, we will hope, I would imagine, we'll be recapping a very fun competitive game. I would be very surprised if the point spread, or if the margin of victory in this game is above 10 points. I mean, and God, even if Tua goes down, I'm pretty sure Jalen Hurts wouldn't mind putting on a show after what happened for him last year. So you should be watching a hell of a championship game with the two best programs in the country. Yes, it's a repeat matchup we've seen a lot lately, but, I mean, the X's and O's tell you this should be a phenomenal game of football to watch, so why not watch it? Because we don't get football. I mean, you get some NFL. NFL's down to 8 teams. College football's done after this. The football season's soon to be over, folks. Then it's baseball, if you like that, or basketball, and then your choices are about done. So enjoy your football game tomorrow night. We will do a show that will recap the game of the national title. It's actually a fun show because we kind of just, I don't know, give our thoughts. And it appears whenever Saban does play Clemson, there's always our post-game show is as entertaining as this one because there's always some dynamics to discuss. So until then, enjoy your game tomorrow. Hopefully 2019's gotten off to a very good start for you. Whatever things you've tried to drop or bad habits, hopefully they've still not came back yet. We've got about 350 days left. But hopefully the New Year traditions are all going well. As always, thanks for listening to our podcast. Enjoy watching the game tomorrow night. The boys are out. Have a good one. Peace.